it's getting better. Right now, I've been joined live in studio by a good friend and a fine guest. He's Batman, Matt Rothschild. He is the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign and also an author of a fine book, 12 Ways to Save Democracy in Wisconsin. Matt, great to see you again, man. Hadn't been long, but always great to have you come around.
Hey, Crudy, thanks for having me back. Really appreciate it.
Well, no problem, sir. Let's make sure we got Matt's microphone up loud enough. I want to hear him loud and clear and sexy. Matt, first and foremost, the headline of the day. Tommy Thompson must be seriously considering a timeshare in Florida down near Mar-a-Lago or running for governor of the great state of Wisconsin for what, like a fifth time?
You know, I saw the headline and the first thought across my mind was, wow, is this pathetic? Not so much pathetic that he thinks at 80 or however old he is that he needs to run again and become governor, though that's kind of pathetic. But really pathetic is to feel the need that you got to go down to Mar-a-Lago and kiss the ring. Tommy Thompson should not have to subject himself to that kind of self-degradation to go down and kiss Trump's ring. I thought it was disgusting.
Do you also find me disgusting for wanting to get out the popcorn and enjoy the show? I mean, I'm very excited as a pundit, as a talk radio host. The idea of Tommy Thompson jumping in, mixing up that race, shaking her up. Well, you know, I get a little gleeful, man.
Yeah, it'll make it more interesting. If he doesn't get in, I think Rebecca Clayfish is pretty much on a glide to win the nomination.
She is the establishment choice, yeah. By all indications. She is... waited her turn, it's her turn, right?
And she's got a lot of the endorsements, and people have lined up behind her. And
she's been running for the office since effectively she left the lieutenant governor's office in defeat.
And she's been doing what a good candidate's supposed to do. You know, she shows up, she gives money out of her campaign kitty to other people who are running for office. She's just been, you know, dotting her I's, crossing her T's. She's got the inside lane. I don't think Rampton is going to come anywhere close unless just it's crazy time. And it is crazy time in Wisconsin. Let's not forget the far right in this state is off the rockers.
I cannot envision a path to ultimate victory. He could, you know, thread the needle and win the primary, and that'd be the greatest thing that ever happened to Tony Evers.
Yeah, he's not
elective campaign.
Yeah, Tim Rampton is not going to be governor of Wisconsin. I'm prepared to bet the farm on that. But he could get the nomination if just the crazy people show up during primary day.
Matt, what about Kevin Nicholson, the handsome former Marine, former Democrat, sugar baby of the Uline family, apparently.
Yeah, Richard Uline's, you know, favorite young man. I mean, he's just throwing money.
Millions.
I mean, I'm seeing Nicholson on TV acting like he's the only guy who ever got anything done. What has he ever gotten done? He's never held public office. What's he achieved?
He has a very nice storefront in Waukesha that I'm hoping might just come available sometime after August 9th.
You got your eyes on that property.
I did look at least from the exterior, and I thought, man, that'd be a nice location for a radio station in Waukesha.
Yeah, I don't know, you know, why he's running again. I mean, he didn't do well last time around, and you know, he flirted with running for Senate, but Johnson decided at the last minute that, hey, I kind of like this gig, so I'm going to run again. And, you know, the E-lines are split. Elizabeth's been supporting Rebecca Clayfish and Richard supporting Nicholson. I mean, when you've got billions to throw around, I guess it just doesn't really matter. But I don't see Nicholson winning. I think the only person who's got a just crazy outside shot if Tommy doesn't get in is Rampton. But I'm still hoping the Republicans in this state are not totally that crazy.
Can you envision... a millionaire self-funder, a guy like Eric Hovde. I saw his name mentioned in an article about Tommy Thompson earlier. You know, big ego, one must assume, successful guy. Not a lot of political success in his background, but he's at least run for office before, right?
Yeah, and he flirts with running all the time, but I don't see him throwing his hat in the ring. I mean, Tommy has a possibility of winning. So I can see why it's tempting.
I think Tommy has a good possibility of winning if he's up for the challenge at 80 years old.
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure he could win the nomination, actually, though. I think he could win against Governor Evers in that race.
So you think he could win?
I think it's harder for him to win the Republican primary than to win the governor's mansion.
And why would that be? Because, you know, I earlier in the day was plotting sort of a crossover vote campaign on behalf of Tommy. But why do you think he could win the general but would have a hard time winning the nomination in today's Republican Party.
Exactly, because the people who turn out largely in the primary races are the partisans, are the activists, are the ideologues. And Tommy, maybe that's why he's going down to Mar-a-Lago to kiss the ring, isn't that far right. By the same token, that same virtue helps him in a general election. I think there are a lot of independents and some Democrats who are really pleased that he stood up and rose to the occasion becoming president of the university, stood up to the Republicans in the legislature who kept wanting to mess with what he was doing over there as far as COVID protection goes. And he said, go ahead and sue me. And I think a lot of people said, yeah, that's real leadership. That's protecting the health and safety of the students and the professors and the staff. I like Tommy. He's the old Tommy. But, you know, I don't think the old Tommy works well in today's Republican circles so much.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. My fine guest, Matt Rothschild. He serves well, hot or cold. He's here with me in studio in the Devil Radio Studio, University Avenue, Madison. Matt, before I forget to ask, you've got a big event tonight. Some might want to come out and see you in person. I'm often the beneficiary of your company, but where can people see you tonight?
Bless your heart. Yeah, I'm giving a talk tonight at Madison Downtown Public Library, 7 o'clock. It's a talk about my new book, 12 Ways to Save Democracy in Wisconsin. I'll be selling copies and signing copies if you want to come after my talk. I'll be telling people why I wrote the book, what's happened since I wrote the book, what I think the threats are to our democracy, and give a little bit of hope, too. We all need a little bit of hope. And then I'll be signing copies. So, yeah, it's room 302 in the downtown public library here in Madison, Wisconsin.
Man, I know you wear a couple of hats, and your hat is the director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. I know your organization pointed out some outside spending in an appellate court race going on. And right now, the appellate court, I believe, is held by, I forget her first name, Judge Kornblum. And there is a opponent, and there's, what, $250,000 and perhaps more dark money that's coming to support. But this particular candidate, and I'll let you tell the people who it is, Matt. Damn it, you can't recall?
And I didn't bring my computer.
But. Oh, well, you got mine. So we'll come back to that point after a short
But anyway, break. I think it was the a group associated with Richard Elon that's throwing all that money into this appellate court race in southeastern Wisconsin. And Elon's throwing a lot of money up in Green Bay and in city council races, too. It's just crazy. He wants to buy every office in Wisconsin.
Well, you listen to right-wing talk radio right now, and all they are doing is banging the gong about getting out and voting in school board races. I mean, they see that as the new battlefield, the conservative right. And I'm talk radio right, let's put it that way. I don't know that there is a conservative right over there. But they're looking to fight these battles school board by school board, classroom by classroom. And a lot of it is just predicated on this whole concept. They're sexualizing the schools. They're teaching the kids they're every white person's racist. Well, none of this is really going on. And I hear some of the hosts or hostess, as the case may be, and I'm thinking, you don't have kids in the school. I got kids in the school. They're not learning what you claim they're being indoctrinated to. Man, but what do you think as a political movement, it is certainly galvanizing the grassroots, and it will turn them out, especially next Tuesday in a low turnout spring election. The Republicans are certainly trying to turn out theirs.
I think that's what that's all about. All this, you know, baloney about school curriculum, all this stuff about transgender and today's International Transgender Day. And it's just disgraceful the way Republicans have been abusing kids who are transgender. And yeah, I mean, this and the big lie about the November 2020 elections, that's how they think they galvanize their base. They don't care if it's not really happening in the schools. They don't care if they know in their heart of hearts that Joe Biden won the election. They're going to keep spinning these lies to get their base out.
Now, Jenny Thomas, Justice Clarence Thomas's wife, Jenny Thomas is apparently kind of up to her eyeballs of this whole January 6th. Outside of some of the troubling text, and when you see what she wrote to Mark Meadows, you're just like, this lady ain't sane.
Right.
But above and beyond that, she is a very activist sort of big lie supporting. Oh, yeah, and she also happens to be the wife of a Supreme Court justice. And he did not recuse himself on the question of whether or not her very text could be revealed to the public or whether they should be shielded through executive privilege. Matt, I know you've written on this topic. I'm going to let you take it up here. What about Clarence and the Jenny Thomas problem?
Yeah, I mean, this is absolutely disgraceful. This was a blatant conflict of interest, a flagrant conflict of interest by Justice Thomas, not getting off the case. He was the lone dissenter. He was the only one. His conservative brothers and sisters weren't even with him on this, on the U.S. Supreme Court, when it came to whether Trump's documents should be released as they relate to January 6th. And some of those documents were the text from Jenny Thomas to Mark Meadows saying, you know, you got to move heaven and earth to keep Trump in power. I mean, it was just unbelievable how hysterical she was about this subject and just off the wall on it. And, you know, you can see why Justice Clarence Thomas wouldn't want that out there. But you're not supposed to be able to weigh in on a case that directly involves your spouse. He had an obligation, a moral obligation, and, in my opinion, a legal obligation to get off. But there's nothing at the U.S. Supreme Court that tells the justice when he or she's got to get off a case.
Well, Matt, we should know from Wisconsin Supreme Court justices, you know, you can't pressure them by saying it's, you know, morally the right thing to do. That's not going to be persuasive. Not to a conservative justice, not to Clarence Thomas, not to Gableman, not to Prosser. Those that should have recused themselves on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, because they were the recipients of millions. And they somehow justified it. I think Prosser's excuse, well, you know, these litigants before the court, well, they didn't give me these millions this year. It was like over a year ago. So those millions, they don't even count.
Yeah, we've got our own problem with recusal here in Wisconsin, and we've got to insist at some point that judges and justices in Wisconsin need to get off cases where they have a blatant conflict of interest.
I insist you all come back. Batman, you included. More Devil's Advocates. Matt Rothschild, my fine guest in studio, World Headquarters Devil Radio.
Here.
Grass-fed, locally raised, 100% organic. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday edition. Welcome back from the 420 break. I got a fine guest. He is Batman, Matt Rothschild, from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Don't forget to go see him. He's out in the public this evening. About 7 o'clock in the public library, Mant?
7 o'clock, public library downtown, room 302.
And he's bringing copies of his new book, 12 Ways to Save Democracy in Wisconsin. And if you ask him nice, I bet he would sell you one and maybe even sign it. I've got an autograph.
That's right. Sign you one. That's right.
I didn't pay for it, though. You know, perks of being the press.
Plus, you're in the book.
I am. At least you claim I am.
If you ever read it, you'd find out.
There's a footnote somewhere in the back that says Crudy.
No, Matt, it's actually in a chapter on how we restore an independent media in Wisconsin.
Matt, I was just catching some hell on social media. Apparently, I'm not independent enough. I'm not on the team. I'm not being blue enough. You know, I guess I only can blow the blue whistle and crap on Team Red. You know, partisans. Matt, that's not the way I do it. And, you know, once upon a time, I remember I used to love talking to conservatives, Republicans. You mentioned the other day I had Dale Schultz on, one of my favorite guests. Dale Schultz has advanced the conversation far more than me being an echo chamber of the left ever could, at least in my opinion. So, Matt, you know, I get it. And you know, maybe I'm being a little too adoring of Tommy Thompson because, you know, I think it'd make for great talk radio. But what's your opinion? Where the fever has to break at some point. And I get that democracy is in doubt. And I feel that. And I try to make that point each and every day on the radio. But at the end of the day, you know, how do we persuade the middle? And there still is a middle. And it's a big silent middle, but I think they're persuadable. How do we persuade the moderates, the middle?
I mean, there is a middle, and part of it is engaging in conversation with him. I was listening 2 days ago. You had Dave on, and you had a long conversation with Dave, who I think is very conservative, and you were bringing Dave along, and he started to agree with you on what you were talking about. And I think, you know, over time, there are people in our social circle who may not have voted the way we wanted, unless you're in on the Isthmus of Madison, you never meet anybody who didn't vote blue. There are some people, you know, who are decent people otherwise, in the fact that they might have voted a way we didn't like. And we just need to try to bring them back from the edge here and try to, first of all, make them say that, as I'm sure they would say, that January 6th was outrageous. There was an assault on our democracy. And then just point out there are people who are lying about January 6th right now to our face, and they're in the Republican Party. You know, we've got to, even if you're going to stay a Republican, you got to be more sensible than that. We've got to bring people back to a sensible, rational, pro-democracy place where we can engage in conversation. I mean, there are Republicans who are decent Republicans. We got to face that. I mean, Senator Kathy Bernier, Senator Rob Coles, folks like that, Dale Schultz. And we just can't write off, you know, half the population of Wisconsin because they voted for Donald Trump. We got to bring some of those people around.
So what does break the fever? Is it, you know, maybe I'm being a little aspirational for Tommy, but is it the right candidate? Is it the right human being? We just get a transitional, transcendent sort of leader. I mean, are we waiting for a local Barack Obama, just someone that's so much better than all the other politicians that they can sort of break this fever between the parties and unite us once again as a state, as a country? You know, I'm hoping for that person, but I'm not sure who that person would be.
Yeah, and I'm not sure that's the best approach, just to hope that someone comes on a white horse and brings us all back together. I think it's more important for us just
to do... Bernie's getting old for a white horse could break his hip. But
I don't know if he
continue.
Rides either. I think we just got to do it person to person, actually. And if we all just find two or three people that we know that we can try to, you know, engage with, build a relationship with, gradually nudge people, these three people back, each of us, you know, bring two or three people along. You know, that's how the great gay and lesbian revolution happened in this country. And I think we can do that with bringing people back to sanity and shared respect for our democracy.
For those that may not join you at the public library tonight, but would still like to see the salvation of democracy, couple of tips, Matt. What do you think the most important thing the listeners could do to help make a difference?
Well, people should join organizations. We've got great organizations in this state, great nonprofit organizations fighting, you know, the good fight on a whole range of fronts, but League of Women Voters, Common Cause, with Conservation Voters, Disability Rights Wisconsin is a tremendous organization. All these groups we're in conversation with, we're in dialogue with, we're in coalition with at the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. And so, you know, join an organization, join it with a friend, because just to do politics on your own, isolated, is very frustrating, and you're going to burn out, banging your head against the wall. So join an organization, do it with a friend, and then you can do, you know, good politics for a lifetime. That's how I've done it.
Now, on the right, they gin up engagement levels of their supportive base. And part of what they do is they tell a big lie. And I'm not willing to, you know, drum up the lefty base by telling lies. Matt, what should I? I mean, I know you got a little media journalism broadcast background. Matt, what do you think we should be telling the people? Is it a story about, you know, good policy? Or is it a story about let's freaking save democracy? I mean what
is
the
story? And that's what I liked what you were saying in the last half hour. I mean, Build Back Better isn't going to get people out to vote. You know, saving the soul of America, which is what Biden campaigned on, that's going to get the base out, and that's going to get some independents out and some decent Republicans out, because they're worried about the soul of this country. Kathy Bernier is worried about a Republic going down the tubes. And that's the thing to fight on, not just this little policy, that little policy.
I have an action step for the people. Come see my friend Matt Rothschild. Consider buying the book, 12 Ways to Save Democracy in Wisconsin, written by the aforementioned Matt Rothschild. He'll be selling and signing copies, if you ask nice, at the Madison Public Library, room 302, 7 o'clock this evening. Matt, I hope you have a great turnout.
Thanks a lot, Trudy.
Yeah, man, always appreciate when you come by, Batman. This is the What the Prince soundtrack version. You know, we're expanding the reach of the Batman universe.
This is Bat Dance. You see, Bat Dance.
Did you ever dance with the devil by the pale blue moonlight? Thank you, Matt Rothschild. You don't have to answer that. Come back. More Devil's Advocate. Phone lines open. 844-967-2789. It is a dance party up in here.
Whoever heard the heat laugh.
Stop.
Dance off, bro. Me and you.
Now you want to get nuts? Come on. Let's get nuts.